I'm going to call to order the meeting on the Local Government and Metropolitan Affairs Committee. Today is March 17th. House File 1813 will be before us. It's Representative Osmond's bill, and it will be presented at first by Senator Dill. And as soon as we get a quorum, I will move it to the Committee on Governmental Operations Reform and Technology. Senator Dill, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for allowing me to be at the table here and to present this bill. I'm the chief author in the Senate. It's a bill that I started working on 3 years ago and at that time I was concerned about the fragmentation of agricultural land, forest land, the destruction of open space as we see across the state. So we started to meet with environmental and ag groups and other staff people to try to figure out what to do. And we started developing a number of ideas. I actually went through about six drafts of this bill in the first year and a half or so, and then we started to pare it down. Now, the actual public hearings on this started last year. We had two public hearings in the Senate and two this year, and the bill has been cut in half two or three times. I think at this point in time, I should probably just deal with the amendment, right?
Speak about the amendment, but we can't move the amendment because we don't yet have quorum.
Okay.
So go ahead and talk about the amendment.
Okay. Well, I could talk about the way the bill was when they first introduced it in the Senate, but what we have left in the delete all amendments is some provisions that would require local units of government to do planning and zoning to, when they redo their comprehensive plan, to consider certain things. And if you look on page 1, starting in section 2, a county adopting or updating a comprehensive plan in a county outside the metropolitan area shall consider adopting goals and objectives for the preservation of agricultural, forest, wildlife, and open space land and minimizing development in sensitive shoreland areas. Within 3 years of updating the comprehensive plan, the county shall consider adopting ordinances as part of the county's official controls and encourage the implementation of the goals and objectives. The county shall consider the following goals and objectives. And we have a list here of seven different items that they need to consider. And this is shall consider. It's not a one of the things we had to do is get rid of the musts and be more permissive in this delete all amendments to gain support from the counties and the townships. But number one is they need to consider ways to minimize the fragmentation and development of agricultural, forest, wildlife, and open space lands, including consideration of appropriate minimum lot sizes. Number two, they must consider ways to minimize further development in sensitive shoreland areas. Go to page 2, at the top of page 2. Number three, minimizing development near wildlife management areas, scientific and natural areas, and nature centers. Number four, now this is added by the townships and counties within the last week. Identification of areas of preference for higher density, including consideration of existing and necessary water and wastewater services, infrastructure, and other services. And to the extent feasible, encourage full development of areas previously zoned for non-agricultural uses. Number five, encouraging development close to places of employment, shopping centers, schools, mass transit, and other public and private service centers. Number six, identification of areas where other developments are appropriate, and seven other goals and objectives the county may identify. Now, this is repeated twice in this bill because there's one section of the law for counties and one section for townships and municipalities. So the second half of this bill is really a rerun of the first half. Now, the other thing, since we had to cut this thing in half, there was an agreement here to do some further research. And so, as you see on page 3, section 8, there's an agricultural and open space preservation task force. This is an idea that the counties and townships advanced to study this issue further. The task force is made up of four legislators, two from the House, two from the Senate, majority and minority caucuses equally represented, and then members of the townships, counties, and cities would be three additional members to round out the seven-person task force to study this issue further and report back in the next legislative session. There's a number of ideas, as I mentioned earlier, that fell out, considered too controversial at this time, and perhaps they'll come back in next year if the task force thinks they're appropriate at that time.
Representative Holberg.
Madam Chair and Senator Diller, Representative Osmond, a couple questions. Does this just apply outside the Seven County metro area?
Senator Dill.
Madam Chair, Representative Holberg, yes, there's language in here in more than one place that says that the metro area is exempt.
And Madam Chair,
Representative Holberg,
if I might, I'm not familiar with the timeline or how often. I know how it works in the metro area with the 10-year comp plan updates to be done by a certain year. In Greater Minnesota, are there statutes that govern how often comp plans have to be updated, and how does that work?
Senator Dill.
Well, Madam Chair, Representative Holberg, I believe it's every 10 years also, but I think there's also a general practice. It's more often than that because things are so dynamic and changing. The DNR comes up with new ideas and for shoreland zoning requirements and recommendations and so forth. So I think in general practice, the review occurs more often than once every 10 years. But it is 10 years in state law.
That's
under state law.
Okay, and Madam Chair and Senator Dill, then, I'm just wondering, number one, if the groups have signed off on this, but in particular, as you look on page 3 under section 6, it's actually starting on line 3.8. I'm wondering if you would inadvertently catch a municipality that maybe at this point, maybe 60, 70, 80% through their comp plan update process and be looking to adopt sometime this fall, and by passage of this, I'm just wondering if maybe your effective date should be pushed off a little bit to allow those that are already working on updates to not have to come back and pick this language up.
Yeah.
Representative Osmond.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Holberg. There's no mandate in this, so all it is asking them to, it's bringing it to their attention and asking them to address it. So regardless of where they're at in their process, that's all they would have to do.
If I might, then also as far as have the Greater Minnesota cities and all those wonderful groups signed off on this? Or
Senator Dill.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the League of Minnesota Cities has been very aggressive in promoting this all the way through, even when the bill is twice as big as it is now. But the townships and counties were opposing it up until about a week ago. So we cut this bill in half, and the four things we did is we eliminated anything that was a mandate, so it was more permissive all the way through. Second thing is I had a provision in there to encourage livestock production as a way of helping to protect the environment. And there's a lot of ways that livestock helps protect the environment because you have to have more hay and grass and pasture and so forth. And the third thing was we had a development priority list in the bill where the number one priority would be development within city limits, the number two next to city limits with sewer and water available and so forth. And the fourth thing the fourth change was adding the task force. So with that, the townships and counties are in support of this bill.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Further questions from members? Seeing none, is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify for or against this bill? All right, seeing none, we're still one vote short of a quorum. And so what we'll do
is
after him, but one vote short, sorry. We're one vote short of a quorum. So what we'll do is we'll just move to the next bill, and then when we get the quorum, I'll move the DE1 amendment, and then we'll move the bill on to the committee on governmental operations reform, technology, and elections. Thank you, Representative Osmond and Senator Dill.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
All right. Representative Fritz. Representative Fritz, we don't yet have a quorum, but your bill I will move your bill when we have one to be moved to the Committee on Finance. Representative Fritz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity to present this legislation that is important to Steele County. This legislation addresses an area of uncertainty presented by Minnesota Statutes, Section 40, 465.717. which makes it unclear to the extent to which counties may participate in joint ventures with tax-exempt organizations, even for county purposes. This legislation specifically permits Steele County to participate in a senior housing joint venture organized as a Minnesota nonprofit corporation. With me today to provide additional information on this bill is Steele County Commissioner Tom Shea. Thank you.
Please go ahead, state your name for the record.
Thank you. Tom Shea, Steele County Commissioner, 5th District. Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. Steele County is one of only seven counties in the state of Minnesota that...
I could interrupt for just 1 second. I'm going to formally call the meeting to order, and Representative Fritz, I will move that House File 4014 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. As I mentioned, Steele County is one of only seven counties that currently owns and operates a long-term nursing home facility. And I'm very proud to say that we are profitable. We're not in distress at this point. But we also recognize that given the current environment with long-term care, that our nursing home is not sustainable. And so to avoid a crisis situation, we have come up with a plan as part of our Communities for a Lifetime initiative to downsize our nursing home of 108 beds to 80 beds. And form a partnership with the Benedictine Health System to manage not only our nursing facility, but also to coordinate all our elderly services throughout the county. To do that, we're proposing that we create a community nonprofit organization that would own and operate not only our nursing home, but our county assisted living and congregate living facility, and also coordinate these activities. And as Representative Fritz indicated, our legal counsel doesn't believe that, or believes that the statute that's referenced doesn't necessarily apply to us, but given the magnitude of the initiative and the fact that we're going to have to finance that with bonds from the nonprofit, we wanted to be very clear that we have the express permission of the legislature to do so. Be happy to answer any questions.
Questions from members. Representative
Lanning. Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Fritz, is there a precedent for this kind of action elsewhere? I understand there are only seven other counties that have a similar situation, but has there been any other county that has done what you're proposing to do here?
Representative Fritz.
Madam Chair, I'm going to turn that over to Ms. Representative
Shea. Madam Chair, Representative, I can't cite them specifically, but it's my understanding that it's not uncommon for communities, be them cities or counties, to have nonprofit governance for hospitals and other facilities, other ventures like this. This statute has its origin in, I believe, the year 2000. And so I don't know if there's any been expressed any precedence since that time.
Representative Lanning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Staff have any further information about whether or not this is precedent setting or?
Ms. Dyson.
Madam Chair, Representative Lanning, I don't have any specific examples about nursing homes with counties, but in the past, we've had legislation relating to transferring ownership and operation of a medical facility. For example, the Regents Hospital, which used to be Ramsey County Hospital, became a nonprofit corporation and separate from government. Hennepin County Medical Center, just a couple of years ago, went through a similar, much more elaborate legislative authorization to create a medical center, a nonprofit. But county-owned nursing homes, I don't have much background on it, so I can't tell you specifically about that.
Thank you.
Representative Stumper.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is the county going to build the nursing home first and then lease it and transfer the ownership after it, or is the ownership going to occur beforehand?
Madam Chair, Representative,
okay.
We currently own a 108-bed nursing home and a 56-bed assisted living congregate facility. our plan is that we would transfer those assets and those facilities to the new nonprofit and then build a new facility to take the place of the 108-bed existing nursing home, and then utilize the existing facility that's been replaced for other elderly services, such as adult daycare, memory care, a variety of things. We anticipate this will be about a two and a half to four-year process to plan it, to finance it, and to make everything happen. But in order to start that process and secure the financing for the new facility, we want to be sure we have the structure in place that allows us to do so.
Representative Sumpfer.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Are there other nursing homes in the county?
Yes.
And is this going to impact them in any way or not?
Madam Chair, Representative, yes, there are two other nursing homes, one in Blooming Prairie and another facility in Owatonna. And no, actually, we're downsizing. We're downsizing from 108 to 80 beds, and it's in alignment with the Department of Health goal and objectives.
Sure.
in this case. So, no, if anything, it will enhance the options and the opportunities, you know, for people in Steele County and better utilize the existing assisted living and congregate living and nursing facilities that are already there.
Thank you.
All right. Representative Holberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess I'm a little concerned about the language on lines 16 and 17 of page 1 that would allow all of this to happen without advertisement or public solicitation of bids. I get the bid thing if it's a partnership deal. So why wouldn't you want to advertise that you were going to consider doing this as a county board and allow for public input in the process?
Mr. Fick.
Madam Chair, Representative, we do have input. Where it's a very transparent process. I'm not sure precisely why that is exempt, other than the fact that it's our intention to enter into this nonprofit with Steele County being a 40% owner of the new nonprofit. And therefore, we wouldn't be advertising, we wouldn't be soliciting for an RFP or bids from other vendors. It's our specific intent to create this new entity for this purpose.
Representative Holberg.
Madam Chair, I understand the public solicitation of bids, but I don't understand the no advertisement. I mean, you have to advertise your agenda as a county board, your actions, and why would you allow the process of this asset transfer to go underground, if you will? Why wouldn't you be including a notice about that process occurring?
Representative Holberg, I just asked Ms. Dyson, and maybe she could
Madam Chair and Representative Holberg, when I was reading it, I was just making the assumption that it went along with the public solicitation of the bids, that the two are, that it's one thing, that it's not the same as the public notice for meetings and the proposal itself, that it's the advertising and, you know, it says or, but I kind of read it together with the public solicitation of bids. I'm not positive that that's what they intended, but that's how I read it.
Representative Holberg?
Well, it just seems odd to me. I'm hoping that we're not... I mean, I'm hoping that the residents of Steele County, that they will know ahead of time when action... I mean, it seems to be a pretty big deal,
mm-hmm.
that would be posted and that the citizens would be able to weigh in on the process. And then, Ms. Dyson, on page 2... line 1, exempting them from 465.717, is that the open meeting law?
Ms. Dyson.
Madam Chair and Representative Holberg, no. Much like the other day, this is that statute that was enacted in either 1999 or 2000 that says that political subdivisions of the state cannot create corporations, nonprofit corporations, without special law from the legislature. And that's what that 465.717 says, that they have to come to the legislature to get authority to create a nonprofit corporation.
Okay, and then if I might, and this may be for Ms. Dyson as well, will the meetings of the board that's going to run this facility be open meetings?
Ms. Madam Chair and Representative Holbert, the legislation in front of you does not address that, and I think without specifying it, it would not necessarily apply. It depends on the whether or not a majority of the governing body of the county board or other elected officials, if they are essentially a quorum at a meeting of this nonprofit, then the open meeting law would apply by virtue of the fact that they're elected officials, but otherwise I don't see that it applies. It says that the nonprofit corporation statute, Chapter 317A, would apply, but there's nothing in here that says that any of the other laws that apply to political subdivisions would apply to this.
And, Madam Chair, can I then for follow-up question, what is the intent of the structure of the governing board of the corporation? Has that been determined?
Madam Chair, Representative, I'm not sure I understand specifically, but it's our practice in Steele County particularly with our board. We're very transparent in everything we do have done, and in this particular initiative, the public has been well aware of it for a few months, and then we had just a major rollout last week and had major publication in our local newspaper, family, residents, staff of the facilities were involved. With regard to the new organization, it would certainly be my intent that we continue that transparency and be open. But as was mentioned, it's the creation of a new nonprofit, and I can't speak to what the bylaws would be, but it would certainly be my intention that those bylaws would be consistent and adhere to the spirit of open meeting laws, even though we may not be required to do so. But that would be my intention that be the case.
Representative Holbert, I actually have Ms. Dyson looking up to see if the other entities like the hospital board that we did, Pennington County, if those are subject to open meeting law. And so this is going to finance.
Okay.
So we do have some opportunity to make certain that any that the others are, that we make this one consistent as well.
And I appreciate that, Madam Chair, because I'm looking at the bill. It doesn't say how many people are going to be on the board, and it just says that the Steele County has the right to appoint and remove one or more members of the governing board. So it's really difficult to tell from this legislation how many people, and I also don't have a real good understanding of for what period of time will there be public funds associated with supporting this corporation. And so I just don't know enough, but I guess I am encouraged by the words of the commissioner that it's their intent to the degree possible to keep these meetings open to the public. And I think at this point, best we're going to do in this committee, and maybe they can flesh it out a little more as the bill moves along.
Absolutely. Representative Stumper?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Shea, can you explain a little bit, what's the advantage of partnering with Mayo Clinic and Molina Health Partners? I'm wondering what the advantage is of, because it's for doing that, because it seems like it may, or you could at least sense it in some cases, it might complicate things a little bit more.
Well, Madam Chair,
I'm just curious.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Representative, I maybe should have gone back a little bit to give a little bit of groundwork. We're actually not partnering in the nonprofit with Mayo and Alina. We are locating our new facility on a new healthcare campus in Owatonna, where the Mayo Health System physicians have already built a brand new clinic, and the Alina Hospital is building a brand new hospital on the same campus that's going to be joined physically together. They have graciously invited Cedarview, our nursing home, to build a facility on the campus and attached to those two facilities, so that we will jointly be located on the same campus. but not actually in partnership in this nonprofit corporation.
Okay.
The partnership in the nonprofit corporation would be with the Benedictine Health System that would operate and manage the facility.
Okay.
And also assist the county in our care coordination.
All right. Thank you.
Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Further questions from members? All right. Consulting with Ms. Dyson here, Hennepin County is subject to the open meeting law, and usually we do that in this committee. So we'd be happy to amend that on to the bill here. Typically we would do that, and then if it needs to be modified or changed between here and the next committee, I'd be happy to work with you to address that issue. Would that take care of your concerns, Representative Holberg?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that sounds very reasonable.
All right. So we'll give Ms. Dyson a moment to draft some language.
Okay. Very
but
good.
Typically we do that in this committee. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify for or against this bill? All right, seeing none, we'll be just a minute.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair,
yes. Ms. Dyson,
with a little leeway to make it sound a little more artful, my recommendation would be to add a subdivision 3 on page 2 after line 2 that would just be titled Open Meeting Law Data Practices Act and state that the a nonprofit corporation established under this section is subject to the Minnesota Open Meeting Law and Minnesota Data Government Data Practices Act.
All right. Is that Representative Holberg, does that get there?
Madam Chair, I think it does for today's purposes, but I think that there may be some issue with the fact that they will have health records probably as part of the corporation, and there may be a need to further clarify that the health records would be governed under whatever the chapter of law that governs health records.
All right. I would move that language by Ms. Dyson, and we can work on clarifying the medical records issue. Questions from members? All right, seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. I would renew my motion that House File 4014 be recommended to pass and be referred as amended and be re-referred to the Committee on Finance. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Fritz.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
All right. I will bring back up House File 1813. Members, we already heard this bill, but we did not have a quorum. And there is a DE1 amendment that we also heard, and I would move the DE1 amendment. Representative Osment.
Mr. Chair, on the DE1 amendment, if we put on page 3, line 27, it's a very technical change in the word bill to act. This is at the advice of the council. You would incorporate that into it.
Okay. That has been incorporated into the DE1 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. All right, members, I would renew my motion that House File 1813 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Governmental Operations, Reform, Technology, and Elections. As amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Osment.
Thank you.
With that, members, we have nothing else on the agenda. We may get two bills on Wednesday, but as of right now, we have nothing, so only if we get the two bills will we meet.
Oh.
With that, this meeting is adjourned.